This lesson is entitled Discipling Young Christian Families by God's Grace with Reggie Williams. Brother Williams joined the staff of Lancaster Baptist Church in 2005, and he teaches Bible in the high school and college and serves in the church outreach departments. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
And this session is entitled Discipling Young Families by God's Grace. And so I just want to thank you for being here. And I'll tell you, if you were, I think most of you probably were in Pastor Chappell's, I think, general session today. And I think he just kind of just said it all, I think, there. So I'm going to try to come back and just reiterate some things and hopefully be a help to you. But let's have a word of prayer. And we're going to have a little bit of an introduction section. I brought some, just some periodicals and just to kind of throw some things out to you. And I'd have to say that this is one session that I tell you, you know, this is for me. You know, this is something that I know that I, you know, if I can just, you know, continually just get a hold of some of the things that I'm going to be sharing today, it'll revolutionize, I think, our ministries and so forth. But let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to go ahead and begin this afternoon. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for just the fact that we can know you, Lord. Thank you for salvation, Lord. I'm so thankful that not only did you save us, Lord, but also you've called us to a life and ministry of discipling. And Lord, I just ask that you would be with every individual that sits here, Lord. You know the ministries. I know that there's a variety of makeup as far as what you've called each and every one of these people to do. And Lord, how I just ask that you'd help us to go home with a fervor, Lord, with a desire to share with what somebody shared with us. And so, Lord, please give me wisdom. I pray that you'd help me to be a help this hour. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. And again, if you were in Pastor's general session today, I'm not really going to share anything brand new, but this is one verse that I know that even as a young man, Lord, I had actually memorized this verse, and the Lord really has helped me and reminded me even as far as the ministry that he's called me to here. But this is really what I say our ministry outreach verse or our discipleship verse. Here we see 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says, as Paul is, of course, writing to young pastor Timothy, he says in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me and among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now, that's the key there, to be able to teach others also. And let me ask you this, and we're going to get right into this particular session, I know, for today, but have you found yourself maybe not believing at a point in your life that you'd be able to impart maybe something to someone else, or at least maybe you never thought you'd be able to teach something to someone else? Is it just me this afternoon? You know, I think we all have done things where we've maybe taught someone not thinking that we could ever teach someone else. And when you think about, I'd have to say, the heart of God, and when you think about really the nature of just what he's put before us, the greatest thing that you and I, what we can impart, obviously, to someone else, another being, is the truths of the Word of God. And let me just say this one last thing, and I'm going to certainly move along here. But when you think about discipleship, folks, you know, I teach here at West Coast Baptist College. The Lord's blessed. I certainly enjoy doing what I do. But I tell folks often that I have the privilege, my wife and I, as we sit down with them to open up the Word of God. You know, it doesn't take them having to go to Bible college to understand the Word of God. It doesn't take them having to earn a master. They don't have to do this and that. But all they, you know, really all it is just having an open heart. But yet they need to have that willing teacher here. As we kind of move right into this discipling young families for God by God's grace, oftentimes I know I've taught this similar lesson once before here, but let me just, so I can kind of get to know where some of you serve here now in terms of ministries. Now, how many of you, let's say that you're right now, you're currently involved in, let's say, an adult class, or you serve as an adult teacher there. Okay, all right, so a lot of maybe the discipleship that you're looking at is maybe for some of the adults. What about youth, just out of curiosity? Okay, what about singles? I know that may fit, of course, in adult ministries. Okay. Where would some of you, if you've not kind of raised a hand and share, where would that leave some of you else here? If you've not raised a hand, what are some of the ministries are you currently involved in right now? Yes, sir.
One-on-one.
Good, one-on-one. Okay, great, great. Okay, and also music. Okay, is there anything else that maybe I've missed? Yes, sir.
One-on-one, and also children's ministries, junior church.
Great, great. Okay, excellent. Okay, excellent, good. So, you know, to me, it doesn't matter where you're at, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's with couples, whether it's with singles. You know, to me, we're going to see how some of these, hopefully some of these principles will be a help to you, I know, this afternoon. You inside of your notes, and I'm not looking at what page that you have here, I'm just going to give just some introduction again. You've got a lot, I believe, that is already filled in, but trust me, I'm the type, I like to give extra notes. So don't be thinking it's just five principles there. There's some things I want to try to give to you this afternoon. But, you know, when I think about what are the challenges that you and I face today with discipleship, there are many. My wife and I have been privileged to teach one of our adult Sunday school classes, the Family Heritage class. This is my sixth year here on staff at the church and serving the college as well. And, you know, there are many, many different challenges as I look at just working with couples. But if I could, and you know, really share with you what I believe is the four major challenges that I believe that we're faced with today, my wife and I have been faced with, I think you would agree. You don't have these in the notes, but number one, something that's called cohabitation. Now, I know that those of you that work with teenagers, maybe that's not the major thing per se here, but I'd have to say that one challenge as we, of course, look at this thing that's called discipleship that we've got to deal with is called cohabitation. During a period when single, one out of three, 33%, in other words, live with different genders. Now, that was a percentage that was actually taken last year. You can only imagine it's probably upped. I'd have to say another major challenge that faces you and I as we disciple families for Christ is something that's called blended families. It's been said that 46% of weddings here in the United States are remarriages. And, of course, that also includes children with previous relationships. And so that's certainly a major challenge that is on the rise. I'd have to say that number three, when you think about maybe a third major challenge with what you and I are challenged with is what I call low-income families. Over 5 million in the year 2000 currently are on welfare. Now, this is 2011. Could you only imagine where we are today? Just with that there, and I'd have to say the fourth challenge that I find myself working with young couples or couples as a whole is obviously materialism. It's not all that uncommon for me to, of course, deal with families, and they say, Brother Williams, we're struggling here financially. Boy, you go over to their home, you see their television set as big as their garage, you know. And so, but when I look at some of the challenges that we're faced with today, number one, cohabitation, number two, blended families, low-income families, and also, of course, materialism. Now, folks, I say this, we're going to get to the five principles. You can take any one of those four major, should I say, challenges. Did you know that God can do something with that? I tell you, there's story after story of some families that are in our church. You saw many of the witch that had cardboards on Tuesday, how God's kind of got a hold of them. Now, folks, now, if that's to be said and if that is true, which it is, that means something has to happen to you and I. And I believe that's why you and I are sitting here this afternoon. I want to share with you five principles the Lord gave to me, how you and I can take our discipleship really to another level. Now, again, whether it's working with maybe young people, maybe just singles or adults, of course, maybe older adults, you know, to me as a discipleship as a whole, how is it can you and I take our discipleship to another level? Let me quickly get you to turn to John chapter number 13. I'm going to give you the first principle, if you would, here. The Gospel of John chapter 13. I'd have to say the first principle that you and I need to understand here is, number one, the design or the design of discipleship. The design of discipleship. When we come to John chapter 13, I'd have to say that, of course, the Lord Jesus certainly is our great example when it comes to discipleship. Take a look at beginning in verse number 4. It says, He rises, talking about the Lord Jesus, He rises from the supper, and He laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And after He had poured the water into the basin, He began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was guarded. And of course, many of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the passage. Here we see the Lord Jesus Himself takes, of course, that towel, and He begins to wash to the disciples' feet. Now, I use this passage because it's important that you and I, we see this as, number one, the design of discipleship. Notice letter A, and again, some of you may have these filled in, but I'm going to give you some subpoints, to go along with this. Letter A, notice the purpose of discipleship. Now, there are three M's, I'd have to say, that kind of fall right underneath what I call the purpose of discipleship. Now, I'm not sure if you've got room to jot these in. You may have to write in a column. Do your best there. But notice under this here, the purpose of discipleship, there are three imps. Number one here, or small a, is that we must provide a model. I'll let you write down the word model. Then number two, I'm going to come back and give these to you. Number two would be the word mentor. And number three, make new disciples. Okay, so number one, letter A, however you want to put that, would be model. Then number two would be mentor. And number three, make disciples. Now, let me just kind of back up and say this. When you think about the purpose of our discipleship, we're talking again with this, the design of our discipleship. That word model, we must give, in other words, we must give our couples or whomever we are discipling a visual. You know, I'd have to say that discipleship to me is more than just, of course, sitting across the table and just opening up the Word of God. But they need to see that, of course, in your life. They need to see a visual. I'm kind of getting to the word, of course, teaching, or however you want to say this here. But I'm just so thankful as I think about some of how discipleship was modeled toward me as a young man. I actually saw it. It was not just something that was just taught only. I use the word mentor. What comes to word, if I can ask you this question, when you think about the word mentor, what comes to mind? What does it mean to mentor? Or what is to mentor? Okay, to teach and to train. Okay, all right. Be an example. Okay, all right. Okay, maybe a person looks up to you. All right, good. I get this word investment. That kind of falls in my mind as well here. And you know, to me, yes, we need to model. We need to give them, a visual. But you know, mentoring, in other words, we need to cross over. Now we're getting into this thing that's called investment. You know, someone once said this, that people don't want to know how much you know, but they want to know how much you care. I think many of you have heard that before. They don't want to know how much you know, but they want to know how much, certainly, that you care. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but you know what I tell you, I certainly love teaching here at West Coast Baptist College, but I find that our students are not all that overly concerned about, of course, yes, they want to get a quality Bible education, but they want to see some instructors who go soul winning. They want to see some instructors who maybe jot them a note and take them out to lunch. Certainly take them out to lunch, of course, that one. But, you know, they want to see, of course, some investment. Number three here is making new disciples. In other words, the reason why I gave this to you here is that we must determine to go full circle. I'm going to get you to do something just as a reminder. If you can maybe find somewhere on your little page there, I want you to draw a half a circle, if you would. Just kind of draw a half a circle, okay? You know, most ministries pride themselves because the fact that, and praise God, they see people get saved. And I think that ought to be a goal for every ministry. They pride themselves because, of course, they've got some of the great preachers who come in and so forth, and praise God for that. You know, most ministries today in 2011 only go half a circle. But you know, going full circle is kind of like what Pastor Chappell had shared with this morning is 2 Timothy 2:2. It's going that full circle. It's making new disciples. And I'm going to get into this matter of soul winning and things like that there. But I just wanted to kind of share with you just some things about letter A here, the purpose of discipleship. Let's move along quickly here. Notice letter B here, we see the pattern for discipleship. And underneath that, and again, you have this in the notes here, but my question is, what should be the mindset of you and I as we disciple? Now again, discipler, think about, of course, the couples that you have, maybe the teenager, maybe that one-on-one situation. What should be our mindset? Yes, we want to, of course, our goal is to see them, of course, want to see them go to the next level, however you want to say that. But again, I think there are just a couple things that I think that we need to think in this regard here about this pattern of discipleship. Now, we're not going to take time to read this passage. Many of you know this, but I want you to jot down Luke chapter 10, verse 33, down to verse number 36. And who remembers what passage this is? Luke chapter 10, verse 33 to 36. What is that all familiar story? We have the, that's right, there we see the Good Samaritan. That's all right. Most of us did there. No, I understand. When you see that story there, there are some things that come to mind as we see that this, of course, this Samaritan, as he comes along, you see this Jew that was left half dead. And, you know, he began to do some things. And yet, you know, this is a great illustration for what should be our mindset when it comes to discipling. You go back and you read this story, we see that this man began to exercise what I call impartiality. You know, discipleship, I believe, we have to learn how to not necessarily to just, of course, I don't believe that we need to turn our eyes away from sin. We need to address sin. But I find in discipleship that, you know what, we have to kind of get beyond the exterior, if you would there. You know, I have to say that this impartiality, that half Jew could have looked at that Jew that was left half dead and could have came to a decision, you know what, I'm not going to even deal with this man. But he began to demonstrate impartiality. When I look at this account here, number two, what I see is something that's called initiative. Now, shame on you and I if we only view ourselves as disciplers only when we're supposed to meet with that person, a disciple. Boy, I tell you, that's a whole nother sermon there. I find that, you know, being a disciple is not just at a certain time that you clock in or just at a certain time. My wife and I, we're discipling a couple now on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, but I find that my ministry goes beyond just Wednesdays at 7 o'clock and so forth. But I'd have to say that initiative, there's an engaging process. And again, there's another principle I'm going to cover that'll hopefully touch on this. Number three, here's the word investment. We just kind of talked about this. I find that this Samaritan certainly invested, made an investment in this Jew financially, and so forth here. And I'd have to say the fourth thing here is what I call patient. Boy, taking time, being patient with people. Now, and again, I better keep moving along. I don't want to get parked on that one there. And so when you think about this, and again, I'm going to try to move along here. You think about the design of discipleship. We need to understand letter A, which is the purpose of discipleship. We see letter B here, the pattern. But notice number three here, letter C, notice the power of discipleship. Philippians 4:13 says this, that I can do what? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, folks, if you're like me, you're going to hit a wall sometimes when you disciple young couples. There's been times, and let me just kind of throw this out to you here. I know I'm a little bit interactive here, but what are some, maybe if we can use the word walls, that maybe some of you have hit as you've worked with some of your couples? Oh boy, that's one I know of a couple we've had to try to weed through, you know, just some of that background, you know. Okay, that's a major wall, okay? What else would you say?
Lack of commitment or faithfulness to the discipleship.
Oh yeah, that's right. I tell you, sometimes you just want to okay, absolutely. All right. Yes, ma'am. Right. When you have one spouse that maybe moves forward and the other one, you know, wants to maybe, of course, kind of course, lag back. Okay. Yes, sir.
It's an unteachable spirit sometimes in people.
That's right. Unteachable spirit.
Get them to listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been a youth pastor for 14 years, and I've worked with teenagers, and some teenagers, you know, they go through, of course, their different levels of where they are as teenagers, and that's a wall. Now, the reason why I give you this principle here, number three, as far as if disciples is concerned, if you and I are going to take our discipleship to the next level, we're going to have to remember Philippians 4:13. I'm just so thankful this afternoon that, you know what, it's not about what you and I do. We're not the finished product. But it's what Christ does through you and I. And I just want to encourage some of us, because some of you might be sitting in this room here just on the verge of saying, you know what, I'm just tired. I'm just done with this. And I have to remind myself that I have to constantly rely on the Holy Spirit. I've got several things. I'm not going to give these all to you here, but I just want to encourage you this afternoon. You know, when we remember the power and where we get it from, I'm thankful that, it gives us the wisdom that we need. Of course, it gives us the patience that also that we need, the stability that we need. And the list can go on and on, but we must remember, let us see here, the power of discipleship. It doesn't come from our college background, folks. It doesn't come from just, you know, kind of pulling something out of the hat. No matter where you are, I know this afternoon, boy, you let God get a hold of you, you're yet to see how God can use you in the midst of discipleship. Let me quickly move along here. Notice letter D here, one of my favorite principles here that we need to understand. And again, we're just laying the foundation, number one. I need to move quick here. Notice letter D is called the prize of discipleship. And again, I'm going to ask you a question. Be ready here. But when I think about the prize of discipleship, each of us can think of maybe young people or even couples or individuals who've gone full circle. You know, there's a couple, I know they were here the other night, and yet Kareem and Delia Pandy, I can say their name, but you know, there's a couple when they first walked to the door 4 years ago, I tell you, just a rough background. but both got saved. They've been a part of our family. They both were baptized. They're a part of our couples class. Now they're serving as disciples, you know, taking other people through this here. And there are many stories like that. But I guess when you think about going full circle here, and you know, to me, I think about, of course, some things that need to, of course, take place here. The prize of discipleship. What are some prizes, if I can ask you this as a question, but what are some victories do you begin to see when couples do go full circle, or you're taking a young person full circle? Does that make sense there? What are some of those prizes that come from that? Oh, boy, I tell you what, I mean, that is a joy. It just brings me to tears when I see, again, some teenagers and even couples who've let, of course, let the Holy Spirit, you know, get a hold of them, all right? What's another victory?
Just growth.
Absolutely. You're seeing them take some steps. Now, folks, I know that's rather practical as I give this to you. But, you know, to me, there is a prize for our discipleship. I can almost tack this on to the last one here. You know, there are some of you that think that, you know, this time that I'm putting into this person, I don't even know if they're getting anything out of this. I was out soul winning with a dear brother here on Saturday, and I tell you, it was just sometimes you get out and you knock on doors and you're just not sure, you know, Lord, you know, where is this going to go? And you know, as I'm trying to invest in people, but folks, don't ever get over the fact that, you know, something good can come out of this. By the way, you all are products of one. All of us are products of course, being the prize of discipleship. And boy, baptisms occur, and of course, we see they go on to, of course, other ministries, and families, of course, are growing and so forth here. And so I gave you those four as we look at this afternoon. Notice the design. I gave you the design of discipleship. Now, notice quickly number two here. Notice what I call the disciplines of discipleship. Yes, I believe it's important that we understand the design. We see the biblical pattern. But folks, can I say that number two, when you consider the discipline, now we're touching on something a little bit personal. I hope all of you, if you don't get anything else, get this principle here. And again, the reason why I'm hoping that you came to this session was how is it can we kind of fine-tune really where we are as disciples? Did you know that even as Pastor said today that, you know, our folks that we disciple, they need to see something that's real. You know, to me, it's more than just standing up or sitting down with someone one-on-one. But, you know, we need to live what we're trying to impart truth-wise. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, as we see John is writing, love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. Letter A here. Here we see that there is a personal call to holiness. Now, again, I'm not really giving you anything new as I state this point here, folks, but you know, our effectiveness will only be any more, will be no more effective than what our holiness is. Did you catch that? Our effectiveness will be no more than what our holiness is. And yet it's important that to whom we disciple, we need to make sure that we're a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Let it be. You know, there's a need for continual personal and spiritual growth. Now, let me just kind of pause right here. I know some of you may have, and I'm going to begin sharing just some periodicals that have been, I know, a personal help to me, and most of you. How many of you subscribe, of course, to Striving Together publication? I don't know how many of you do, okay? We've got a few men that do. If you don't, I'm a little bit biased, but I tell you, we have some of the great material that's been a help to me in my ministry. And yet, take some time. I'm just going to throw out a few titles if I can here quickly. I need to move along here. But I know one book I want to encourage you. If you are discipling, there's a book that's entitled Mentoring and Modeling, Developing the Next Generation. I like that word generation because there's no age limit to that. And yet, no matter whom you are discipling, this is one book I know that was authored by, of course, actually written by Dr. Goetsch, John Goetsch, and also Mark Rasmussen. Just a great tool I've used over the last few years. And how many of you have a copy of this here? I'm curious. Okay, good, good. And I want to encourage you to stop over at the bookstore. And this is just a great book that really helps us to get an understanding culturally where we are and so forth here. You know, as a discipler, you know, you are to be the greatest student. I say that in our college classes. You know, college students, you know, my goal is not to be the greatest instructor, but I desire to be the greatest student. I tell them that, and I sincerely mean this. And, you know, when I think about this principle here, letter B, there's a need for continual personal and spiritual growth. You know, you and I, we need to be growing in our awareness. Now listen, disciples, please, please listen to this. And again, I'm giving you lots of side notes here, but you know, you and I need to be growing in our awareness. That means, I think about the tribe of Issachar. You go to the book of Chronicles and how they were men that had an understanding of the times. And it's important that as disciples that we have an awareness just where we are. We're not just reciting just information to whom we're discipling, but having an awareness. Number two, we must be growing in our doctrine. I tell you, we are in trouble when we sit in a church service when we get this unteachable spirit. I love learning new things. You know, just when you think that you've kind of learned it all, boy, there's a problem right there. And you know, it's important that you and I, we continually, of course, grow. We must always stay ahead. And we need to be growing in our doctrine. I believe that we need to grow in our experience. Don't ever be afraid to get involved, and I've already said this, but get involved in your disciples' lives. Go beyond just the time in which you're supposed to meet to disciple and so forth here. But you need to be growing in your experience, but also growing in your response. That means that always be prepared, always be ready. And so let me encourage you with this. There's a need for continual personal and also spiritual growth. But when I find that the discipleship, the discipline of the disciple, number one, we see there's a personal call to holiness. There's a need for continual, of course, growth. But notice letter C here, there's a need for a soul-winning fervor. I'm getting on to one of my favorite principles, and I know it's, by the way, I don't call it old hat. This is just where we ought to live. If we're going to develop the kind of discipline that we need as a disciple, if we're going to make it personal, folks, you know, to me, this, I'd have to say that soul winning must be where it needs to be at there. Just a book that I have found, one of the books, I don't know if how many of you have heard of the, Dr. Curtis Hudson, Winning Souls and Getting Them Down the Aisle. This is a tremendous, I know, periodical that I believe that we have these over in the bookstore. And this is just a great book that kind of fuels the passion for soul winning. Next here, some of you have, of course, heard the book, To Seek and to Save. I use this book in one of my classes, and just a great practical book that orchestrates how to, as an individual, how to gain a soul-winning passion. Now, let me just say this quickly, and I'm going to move down here. Why is it this afternoon do I share soul-winning as a part of discipleship? Absolutely. You stop and think about that. And I know that's not, you know, I think we all come to the same conclusion. But folks, you know, maybe not view discipleship as that. You know what? Well, you know, once they get into the church here, whomever pastor gives me, I'll be ready to start working with them. You know, there's something about, of course, once again, going full circle here, but getting involved, I believe, in the Great Commission here. And I know all week we've been challenged in this regard about, of course, getting folks down the aisle and of course, seeing this soul-winning fervor continue to cultivate. Now, I don't want to stray too much because I know there's a lot with this, but you know, when you think about discipleship, there are three things that I've been challenged to keep that I keep in my ministry. I don't have a copy of these. I was going to bring these from my planner here, but there are three lists that I keep. There's something that's called, number one, what's called a sweetheart list. And some of you might be familiar with what a sweetheart list is. You know, a sweetheart list is not maybe what you think it is, but people that I may think, and by the way, you need to keep that men for your wives. That's for sure there. You know, but a sweetheart list would maybe be with folks that maybe I have met on the outside that I've invited and they have come to church there. We don't know if they've been baptized. We don't know if they're saved. They're just kind of, we've invited them. They finally come to church. Obviously, number two, there's something that's called a prospect list. I got those out of order there. But a prospect list is those that maybe I go out and knock on a door and I have somebody that's interested in coming, but they've not yet come to church. Well, I'm going to go back and follow up with him. You've got a prospect list. You've got a sweetheart list. And there's something that's called number three, my favorite list. It's called an assimilation list. An assimilation list are those folks that have been saved. They've been baptized. They're members of the church. Now I've got to get them into the ministry. I've got to get them moving forward. Now, just to cut to the chase so I can move ahead here, are you keeping a list? Are we losing track of whom God has stewarded toward us? I think if there's one list that maybe would maybe greatly apply to this course would be, or this particular session would be that assimilation list. But you should be able to discern, of course, where people are and making sure that you're working toward getting them to where they need to be here. Quickly, letter D and E. Letter D, you have this in front of you. But, you know, there needs to be a follow-up endeavor. I find out discipleship, there's an important need in terms of course, following up, of course, those that God has given to you. And quickly, let me give you letter E, and I do have some things here with you as well. But notice letter E here. There is a need for realizing that there is a cost in discipling. There's a cost, I believe, when it comes to discipleship. Now, can I get you to jot down Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30? And again, let me just have you to flip over there quickly if you can there. We're not going to take a lot of time, but I want you to glance at Luke chapter number 14. And I'm reminded of this passage as Jesus was teaching his disciples. Luke 14, verse number 28. And we need to remind ourselves in this regard, beginning at verse 28, he says, "Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down and counteth the cost, wherewith he hath sufficient to finish it?" Did you know that working with couples or working with teenagers or working with people, there's always a cost there? Now, I just ask you this question. Many of you shake your head, but what have you found? What does it cost when it comes to discipleship? That's right. It costs time. You know, my wife and I, we had a couple. I had the privilege of marrying them here. And you know, praise the Lord. They went through discipleship pretty steadily. They were excited. I have a couple that, you know, this must be the second year. And, you know, I find that, you know, discipleship's not put on a timetable, but, it's going to cost you some time. You know, discipling folks, please get out of this mold that, you know, we're just going to kind of get to this thing quick and just kind of move on. You know, you... however the Lord may lead there, but it's going to cost you time. What else does it cost you?
Energy, involvement, and even sometimes money.
Absolutely. All right. Now, you must be looking at my notes here, I think, there. All right. But, you know, it's going to cost you, I believe it's going to cost you, as you said here, I think energy. You know, there's some couples that I tell you what, that are doctrinally grounded. There's some that I tell you what. So what's the, where does the assistant pastor fit in? Why is there, who's the assistant pastor? I thought there's just one pastor. You know, there's all kind of doctrinal questions and things like that, so you've got to slow it down. I think you had said money. All right. I find that taking people out to lunch and getting to know them, discipleship for me is not just meeting in a church building. You know, I find that discipleship is maybe taking them to lunch or just being a blessing to them, explaining a principle there. All right. Were you going to say one thing?
Commitment.
Amen. On our part, absolutely. It's going to cost commitment. And I just want to reiterate this letter E here. There is a need for realizing that there is a cost. And dear Christian, as you sit here this afternoon, have you counted the cost? I find that if you and I are going to take people full circle and take young couples and just families full circle, did you know that we're going to have to count the cost here? All right. Notice we need to move on here. Note number three, and we're doing good with time here. But notice number three here. Notice the duties of discipleship. The duties of discipleship. You know, discipleship, obviously, there are many different venues, and I'm going to more so kind of begin honing in on, of course, the title of this course is Dealing with Young Families, and this is kind of the roadmap that I've often taken. But when you think about, of course, some of the duties of discipleship, and this is more so dealing with dealing with the qualities that are be found in our discipleship ministry, what are the basics? What are the avenues do we take people through discipleship? And I think as fundamentalists, I think that we probably have this pretty much, you know, nailed down. When you think about a baseball game, you know, oftentimes I illustrate salvation. In order to lead somebody to Christ, obviously they need to understand God's love, and of course they're sinners and the payment and so forth. But when you think about discipleship this afternoon here, let me just give you just some of the basics. And again, for some of you, I know this, just kind of bear with me. For others, this might be rather new to you, but you have this in the notes here. When you think about our duties of discipling, letter A, the exercise of implementing the need of, what does it say there in your notes?
Salvation.
Boy, make sure that we've crossed that bridge if we've not done that. That is the baseline to counseling. That is the baseline, I believe, to any kind of discipling effectively is, of course, their need to understand salvation. Number two, or letter B, the exercise of developing maturity over mediocrity. Now, in our discipleship, as you are, let's say some of you are discipling young teenagers, I sure hope that we've been able to take some time to help them to understand the difference between, once again, maturity versus mediocrity. I find that the life in Jesus Christ is not mediocre, but I find that it's exciting, and I hope that we've been able to take some time to try to differentiate and see the both there. Notice letter C here. I think this is a vital part of our discipleship is the exercise of encouraging, of course, personal discipline. Now, with our discipleship, and I think this is where I'm going with this here, and as I work with young couples, even in our adult Sunday school class, with this point, I try to help them to understand, or I try to help them to develop convictions versus what I call standards there. And in the midst of your discipling, are you implementing convictions versus standards? I illustrate this, so some of you know this is a great way to illustrate this, but you all have driven down a highway road. Most highways, they have, not all of them, but they have, of course, two dividers on both sides, or if you would, maybe fences that, of course, regulates where the traffic goes. And, of course, each highway system has a center divider. And yeah, if you illustrate that, you know, the convictions, of course, represent, of course, that dotted line. That's where we want to stay closest to. The standards, of course, represent those guardrails. It helps us to maintain those convictions. But letter C, the exercise of encouraging our personal discipline. That is an important, I believe, matter that we need to implement here. I see next here letter D, and you have this in the notes here, but notice the need to teach or disciple in the matter of the exercise of elevating edification. You know, in the midst of your discipleship, boy, it's important that you teach on this matter of edification. I'm not talking about the actual lesson, but it's something that you and I ought to impart here. And many things that we can go into. Let me just quickly move along here. Letter E, you see this one here. Letter E is the exercise of the principle of love. Now, let me just pause right here quickly. How many of you are teaching a Sunday school class where maybe you're imparting discipleship? I don't know. You're teaching an adult class. How many of you are adult class teachers? Okay, all right. And I don't know, in the midst of your lessons, have some of you begin teaching specific lessons that deal with the concept of love? I'm sure you have there. Okay, all right. And you know, to me, no matter where you're at with this, it's important that you help them to understand and of course, to teach what biblical love is and things of that nature there. Letter F, the exercise of progress through perseverance. These are all, by the way, key, everything that I'm covering here are great lessons that, of course, that you can cover as well here. But, you know, this deals with, of course, perseverance and teaching them the importance of steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the exercise of progress through perseverance. Now, letter G and letter H, I know letter G might be a little bit closely associated to letter F here, but notice the exercise of training through trials. The exercise of training through trials. I try to get, of course, our couples, as I'm trying to disciple them and as I hone in on this, is to help them to see that trials can be some of the greatest teachers and some of the great, great masters to teach that. And lastly, letter H is the exercise of preparing for service. Now, in the discipleship here, I think it's vitally important that you help them to discover their, what I call, spiritual gifts. I know your discipleship, and in fact, we didn't maybe cover this, and let me just kind of pause right here, and I think this is good here. But what are some different methods in terms of how you go about your discipleship? Or how many? What are the methods, once again? I think one of you already said maybe the one-on-one. But what are some other ways can we disciple outside of maybe just, you know, from a classroom setting? Absolutely. All right. You know, I'll never forget. There was a couple that I actually married down in Louisiana just a few years ago. But, you know, the premarital counseling was done via phone. And so there was some discipleship that was taking place. That was a little bit different for me. And that's a form of that. But how else would you disciple? Absolutely. You can take them out soul winning with you. Okay. Any other methods of soul winning or rather a discipling? Absolutely. Watching them how you respond to situations or how you interact with your kid. Absolutely. You know, it's kind of a wide variety when it comes to discipling here. And yet, you know, as you kind of pull all these together, the reason why I gave you these letters all the way down to letter H is because somewhere along the line, we need to make sure that we are implementing some of these very same things. When you think about what true love is, and when you think about exercising training through trials and encouraging edification, all these ought to be so as we are trying to disciple our couples and so forth here. All right. Let me give you number four, and I'm going to get you number five here, and I definitely want to take some time to try to be helpful to you, maybe answer some questions. But I see number four here is something that's called the dynamics of discipleship. Now, we've been looking at several things up to this point here, but I want us to consider number four here is something that's called the dynamics of discipleship. I want you to quickly look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. I know I've got you flipping a little bit here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7. The dynamics of discipleship. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7, as we see that Israel was, of course, to keep God's commandments as they were given. Here in verse number 7, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, as I look at this, it is vitally important that you and I think we just left a section right here, of course, where we've tried to encourage some things that ought to be found in our own discipleship. We're really turning the pages. I'm going to give this to you here, where things that we need to make sure that's a part of our teaching. I hope I've not kind of confused the two here. Before I get right into that, you know, there's some things that have been a help in our adult Sunday school class, more than just, you know, teaching a Sunday school lesson. I'm from a ministry where, of course, we believe in trying to get as much information into people's hands to be a help them in their homes as possible. I've got some things up here. I don't have enough to hand these out here, but there's some things that I had actually put together every Sunday. Typically, every Sunday, I do my best. It doesn't work out every Sunday, but in our Sunday school bulletins, we have a little card stock. I put these together. I don't find these in magazines or downloading from the internet, but these are just oftentimes some things the Lord's put on my heart, and I'll put together little small cardstock, maybe just little challenges as couples. This is one that I did a few weeks ago. It's called Principles for Accountability. I oftentimes give them a little memory verse or a scripture verse, and I just give them some principles how they can be accountable this summer. And I try to find little things to interject. You know, of course, I try to give to them that they can be a help. You can take some of these. I don't have a whole lot. I can pass a few of these around. But these are just some great things that as husbands and wives, I'll let you pass some of those around if you want to take a look. Just some principles I came up with. I try to give those out. There's one that we put together here. It's called 30 Biblical Virtues to Pray for Your Children. And again, these are all just principles that we've given out. And just little things that we try to get them, to put somewhere, and they can use that here. Now, the reason why I hand out some of these, and I'll let you take a look at that one right there. I'm sorry. That might be the one you need to hand around there. As we come to this section here, these are all, should I say, the fiber behind what we need to be teaching on. Obviously, we need to be teaching the doctrines. But when you think about some things that ought to be evident, what's that first one do you see in the notes there? Boy, it is so key that we teach love in the home. Again, time won't permit for us to get through and go through all of this, but it is vitally important that we take the Word of God and we begin to teach, number one, love in the home. We can go back to Genesis chapter number 2, where we see the first marriage, where we see the first union, and begin to teach that. Number 2, letter B here is what's the next thing there? Teaching in the home there. And where would we go in the Word of God? And again, I'm going to put some of you on the spot here, but where would we go to find teaching in the home? What would be a passage or where could we turn that, of course, instructs us about what the Bible says about the home? All right, Ephesians chapter number 6 there. Absolutely. All right, we're looking at a passage here where we've been given the command in Deuteronomy 6, okay? I'm just throwing out some scripture reference, but love in the home, teaching in the home. Letter C here is protecting the home. And, of course, this deals with separation. It's important that we teach separation in the home here. Where would we go in the Word of God that would help us with that? Where would be a good place where we can instruct on biblical separation? I know it's late in the afternoon there. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Okay, good. And yet, you know, that's a great passage to go to, but it's important that we give them a know-how in terms of protecting the home here. You see just a few more here. Of course, worship in the home. You know, to me, that is one of the missing elements today in our discipleship. Yes, we're teaching doctrine, but a big part of our discipleship, as one of your brothers, I think, had said, was inviting them over to the home and just being there. And yet I think it's key that we teach worship in the home. And I finally quickly just finished the last three as you have them here. But letter E here is counseling in the home here. You know, the husband or father is to be what I called here the high priest in the family. I think about Job in Job chapter 1. How, of course, he led in this matter of spiritual worship. How he led in the spiritual things. And boy, it's important that we help him with that matter. The counseling in the home. Then, of course, letter F and letter G. Letter F is discipline in the home. In marriages, in many cases, it's amazing how the moms have become the sole disciplinarian in the home. Not to be judgmental, but I can walk into a home where there is a husband and a wife, they've got children. You can very quickly find out who the disciplinarian is. I've seen some husbands, boy, the kids have been bouncing off the walls, and the mom's the one that's stern. The dad's there. He's just kind of watching TV. And you can see who the disciplinarian is there. But it's important that we teach discipline in the home. He that spareth the rod spoileth the child. And letter G, of course, encouraging in the home. And yet, you know, to me, I believe it's important that we, and this falls right along with love, and yet the need to encourage, I believe, one another in the home. I want you to listen to what former President Ronald Reagan once said. He says, "We don't expect children to discover the principles of calculus on their own, but some word give them no guidance when it comes to ethics, morality, and also values." And I guess what he's saying with this, it's amazing how you expect people to figure all these things out, but it does take some teaching, in other words, here. Now, folks, this afternoon, I know I think this maybe this particular session was more so geared at the heart here. All of us, I believe, God has called to be disciples. And yet, you know, to me, I believe, number one, I want to encourage, it's not so much as we're not the ones that are left for the final product as we are making sure that our hearts are correct here and so forth. I want to take just a couple of minutes. I always leave a little bit of time. We're right on time for the most part. We've got about 6 minutes before we close out here. But can I just take a few questions? And also, I've got some other things up here if I can be a help to you there. Yes, sir.
Yeah.